Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And by now, of course, you've heard about the deadly stretch limo crash in upstate New York last weekend. 20 people, including two pedestrians, were killed, the driver too. After the driver lost control of the vehicle and slammed into a parked car, the riders were all friends. There were several couples, including newlyweds, one group of four sisters, all killed. It was and is horrible. It's being called the nation's worst traffic accident in about a decade. A criminal investigation is moving fast. State police have already taken into custody the limo company operator, Naaman Hussein. His father, Shahed, who owns the company, has a past that's pretty interesting, which includes being a former FBI informant. But we'll do two things in our conversation about this here. We'll talk about safety issues in the limousine industry as a whole, and we'll offer you some concrete tips for how to vet a limo company if you want to hire one for yourself or a loved one. Richard Redding is the Director of Safety and Research for Sam Schwartz Transportation Consultants and joins us now. Richard, thank you for coming on today. Hi.
Great to be with you.
First, why are stretch limos more dangerous than your average limousine, smaller limousine, or regular car? They are, right?
Well, we don't have data that directly compare the stretch limos to other cars. We do know on the heels of this horrible crash last week that stretch limousines are prone to very, very serious crashes. In the last 5 years, the numbers don't show large numbers of fatalities, but people do die in stretch limo crashes. And two noteworthy crashes in the last 5 years, other than the one last week, involved multiple fatalities. In 2015, four people were killed in a crash, and in 2013, there were five people killed in a limo crash. So, while they're not common, limo crashes can kill larger numbers of people in a single event.
Listeners, if you are involved in the limousine industry, maybe some of you are out there, and we're going to talk to one limo driver in just a minute here, call us up and tell us if this horrible individual accident has lifted a veil on something that you maybe have wanted to shout from the rooftops for years. This is not safe. Certain things that companies are doing or that regulation doesn't include are big gaps here. And hello, people, now I have your attention. So let's talk about this. Anybody out there like that, maybe from within the industry or anybody who has hired a limo, a stretch limo or a party bus or anything, who knows anything about how to vet them for safety, help us report this story. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Richard Redding, Director of Safety and Research for Sam Schwartz Transportation Consultants. And also joining us on the line is a former limo driver, Anderson Araujo, who I think believes the crash could have been avoided. Anderson, thank you for giving us a few minutes. Hi.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us about your own work. What do you do?
Right now, I drive a tractor trailer, transport vehicles. But I drove a limousine for about 12 years in the past. Most of the time, regular town cars, but many, many times stretch limousines.
And when you heard about this accident, what was your first thought?
Well, I initially I tried to really think or rack my brain about what could have gone wrong. So many, many things could go wrong in an accident like that. But I thought first about the type of vehicle and how many people were inside, and more specifically that these vehicles are not built for this. They really are not. They are modified. They are adapted. Over the years, many, many vehicles are being adapted, and But frankly, I never believed they were built to transport that number of people, because buses are built for that. But a stretch limousine with 18 people, 17 people inside, that's way too much weight. And when I drove a stretch limousine, I sometimes look at them and say, this is no good, because this is a regular car, just longer.
Yeah. And so what was it like to drive?
Well, here's the problem. My main problem that I had was the limousine company that I worked for, they never trained me to drive it. We had to learn on the go, just being careful. You know, it's so different to drive a stretch limousine from anything else. And you have to be really careful making turns. You really don't have a good use of your mirrors, especially in Manhattan. And it was really difficult, you know, driving a stretch in the beginning. I got used to it, and I got good at it, but I never liked it. And frankly, I think most limo drivers do not like it.
The limo in question in this case, I believe, was supposed to hold only 10 people. I think that's the legal maximum, right? I think limos come in 6-person size, 8-person size, and 10-person size, if I'm not mistaken, but they squeeze 17 people into this. Do you know if that was against the law?
I'm almost certain it is, because when I drove stretches, we could never put that many people inside. The seats were for 6, 8, 10 people. I never had more than 10.
Yeah.
But here's the problem too: the public. Sometimes, you know, they make a reservation. They don't ask how many seats can you do you have? How many people can we bring? And the limousine companies, of course, they are the ones at fault, because they should ask, okay, how many people are in your party? Well, wait a second, 14, 16, we have to send 2.
Right.
So sometimes the both sides fail to communicate. And sometimes, you know, we show up for a reservation for, let's say, 10 people, and now you have 14 that want to go. I had that type of situation in the past, and I refused to allow more people to go in. And that caused people to get mad at me. But, you know, I said, look, I'm looking out for your safety, because they have seat belts for 10. That's the number of people that can carry.
Do you think that there's much of a difference between limo companies? So, like, there are ways that people who want to hire a limo or a stretch limo can, you know, interview the person when they call up the company and say they're interested, like a few questions that consumers could ask to judge a safer company from a less safe company?
Oh, yes. You know, the public should always be very careful and ask as many questions as they want. But some of the questions, I believe, should be the following. How long have you been in business? Can you send me proof of insurance, for livery insurance to transport people? Can you send me an abstract of your drivers? I want to see what kind of driving record they have. If a company is a good company and concerned with the safety of the people, and if they really are a reputable company, they will send everything you ask. And so let's say they should ask also, how many seats do you have in that stretch limousine? Do you have seat belts in them? And also, if the driver has a CDL. If the driver has a CDL, a commercial driver's license, he's more capable of handling longer vehicles.
Yes.
And they should ask also, is your driver trained to drive this vehicle, or is just somebody that you're just putting in and without really training them? Because it makes a big difference.
Thank you for all those concrete suggestions. Before you go, I'm just curious, since you said you drive a car carrier now, right?
Yes.
You didn't like driving a stretch limo. What's that like to haul cars down the road?
Well, I like it. You know, it's very, very, it pays well. You know, of course, that's why I'm doing it, but I enjoy it. And it is, you have to be very careful. You know, the public also needs to it'll be nice to track your trailer drivers, because we are not out there to cause traffic. We are not out there to delay you. So give us some room, and because we do need room, we do need a lot of space to brake, because we need to shift gears to slow down, and people should never cut off in front of a tractor trailer, that never leads to a good result. So, yeah. Those are the main things. But I enjoy it. You know, I don't go far away. I stay in the New York City area.
Former limo driver Anderson Araujo, thank you so much for giving us some time. Good luck out there. Stay safe.
Thank you.
And still with us, Richard Redding, Director of Safety and Research for Sam Schwartz Transportation Consultants. Richard, what would you add to his list of questions that a consumer should ask when they contact a limo company?
Yeah, lots of questions to ask. First of all, I would ask what the company's reputation is. This is a must. When searching for a limo company, ask friends, ask community members. Often, that kind of reference information is invaluable. Along those lines, the Better Business Bureau provides a very good resource. In fact, I was checking this out yesterday, and they rate limo companies by jurisdiction, by city, with a scaled rating. So you'll see A-plus companies. So certainly that kind of research is something I would start with. Asking for proof of insurance, which your previous guest spoke about, which is very important, and not just personal vehicle insurance, but commercial insurance. Verifying that the driver has the appropriate license as required. So in New York State, for example, a normal driver's license that you or I might have is not sufficient. The driver must have a Class E license to operate a limousine.
So that's required, because that was one of the questions that Anderson, our driver guest, said to ask, does your driver have a CDL, a commercial driver's license? Would that not be required for all limousine drivers in all cases?
No, a CDL is typically required to drive a truck or a school bus, a certain size vehicle, whereas Class E is a license, as I understand it, in New York, that's specific to livery drivers, limo drivers, for hire vehicle operators. So a CDL is certainly another level of proficiency that wouldn't hurt to see, but the minimum requirement is a Class E license, which is a for hire vehicle operator.
Are there three size limos? I'm just, you know, learning about this area, but I think I saw there are 6-person, 8-person, and 10-person limos in New York State, and that's the max legally?
I can't say for sure. I don't know all of the specifications for limousines. You know, the size of these things varies tremendously, and the core vehicle that the limo is based on varies. So I've seen limos that are very long and stretched, but they're based on a Mini Cooper. So it's hard to say what the absolute number is. That's something that varies. But a few other points here to keep in mind. So, for example, checking out the limo you want in person. So it's one thing to go to a website and get an idea of what kind of vehicles the company offers, but looking at the vehicle in person is something that's a right for the consumer. And then verifying that the vehicle has passed the required inspection and that the inspection is current. So this is not like the web transaction where you blindly go into it. These should be local companies where you can go down and inspect the merchandise before you enter into a contract. Looking at the vehicle, checking to see that it's inspected, looking to see that the number of seats aligns with the number of passengers. And as was mentioned before, checking to see that there are seat belts. Now, sadly, New York is one of the states in the country that does not require a rear seat belt use. 29 states do. New York is not one of them. So maybe this will be a wake-up call for New York to re-examine the lack of a seatbelt for rear seat passengers.
For all kinds of cars. Wayne in Germantown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Brian. How are you? Greetings to you and your show and to your guests.
Thank you for calling in. I gather you worked in the business, too.
Yeah, I still do.
Okay.
I would like to say you asked to answer your question, one of them anyway, people want to hire a company for transport, this is, stretch limos, tour buses, whatever, you can go to the Department of Transportation's website, and all you have to do is get the DOT number of the company that you're trying to get information on, go to the DOT website, plug the number in, and they will give you a report, you know, inspection report.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to, you know, they have standards, like from about this accident. I believe that company had a, you know, 20% pass rate, which is, you know, terrible. You know what I mean? My company has a 95% rate. But another thing I would like to say is that when people make those stretch limos, you're adding a significant amount of weight to the vehicle because you have to, you know, you're adding weight to the frame.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is a lot of times people don't upgrade the necessary components. For example, when you add that much weight to a vehicle, you have to upgrade the brakes.
I would think.
You have to upgrade the cooling capacity of the engine, and I would also say you probably need to upgrade, you know, have a type of anti-crash, maybe a built-in roll cage, or you have to upgrade the structural integrity of the vehicle itself.
So you're suggesting something that the other driver brought up too that I didn't realize before. A lot of the stretch limos were not built originally as stretch limos. They were other kinds of cars that then got modified into stretches.
Yes, that's true. Now yes, that's absolutely true. Now, to be fair, you do have some companies who specialize in building specialty cars,
mm-hmm.
stretch limos considered, you know, like the people that built, you know, the car that the president travels in. You better believe those brakes and all those components are seriously upgraded,
uh-huh.
you know. But a lot of times you just have companies that are more or less like boutique-type companies, and they might, like, stretch it out. But if you don't upgrade all those components, then you're asking for trouble, you know what I mean?
Can I ask you one other thing? Have you ever driven a party bus as opposed to a limo?
Yes. My company has a couple of party buses, and you know, I don't like doing it. I don't like driving it. I will say one thing. A lot of times, you know, your customer they don't think about safety. Like, I've been out there long enough, you know, I've been driving altogether maybe about 20 years. I drove tractor trailers. Now I'm driving buses. But what I'm saying is the people are not concerned about safety. All they want is like in a situation where you have a party bus. I've had people, you know, we picked up people, and the first thing they ask me is like, where's the alcohol? And I don't even know if everybody on here is legal to begin with, and I'm not even sure I want to let you drink while I'm driving anyway, you
mm-hmm,
know? So
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult to get right. people to pay attention to safety, you
right.
know?
And it's interesting because I think just the opposite, when people hire a limo, it's precisely because maybe they do want to be able to drink, and there's the assumption that this is the safe route, so they may not think to do the kind of vetting that you were describing. Let me just go back to the first thing you said before
okay.
I let you go, that people
okay.
can, tell me if I got this right, that people can find out the Department of Transportation number of the company that they're thinking of hiring and go to the New York State Department of Transportation website and look up that number to see their inspection pass rate, that kind of thing?
Yes. Yes. In fact, yesterday when I was reading an article about the
accident.
I'm looking at the website right now. If you go to the Department of Transportation and look up its Office of Safety and Security, you look up the carrier profile,
mm-hmm.
and every licensed company has a state DOT number. You ask the contact person at the company for that DOT number, and then you go to the website, you plug in that number, and it'll give you for free the safety
record
of the company.
That's awesome.
And they even have a section on there for stretch and modified vehicles. I'm looking at this as we speak.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there's all kinds of information on there, and it's just you got to take responsibility for your own safety to a certain extent. So
that's right. Wayne, thank you so much. You've been so informative. I really appreciate you donating your time.
Well, thank you. You keep the faith, man. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And boy, Richard Redding from Sam Schwartz Transportation. We ask listeners to help us report this story on many occasions, and boy, are they doing it on this, right?
Absolutely. It's very helpful to hear what drivers in particular have to say. The USDOT website is definitely an important resource.
You said U.S. It's New York State, right? It's not the city. It's not the feds.
It's the United States Department of Transportation.
Oh, really?
So there's a national registry of companies under the USDOT. That industry is regulated by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. And so this is a national website, USDOT.
Okay, USDOT. I think he was saying New York State DOT.
New York State may also have, within states, there may be additional resources that are good to work with. But Brian, if I could just make one more important point. I know you want to wrap this segment up.
Sure.
But I'd like to emphasize that there's a greater danger associated with impaired drivers. So we know that many people who choose to take limousines, including this unfortunate group of people in New York who lost their lives, on whole, we shouldn't take away from this episode that getting into a car drunk is a better option than being a passenger with a professional driver. This is, a horrible incident, but it's looking at the national data historically over the last 5 years anyway, about two people, passengers per year die on average in limousine crashes. That compares with over 10,000 people killed in drunk driving crashes. Likewise, when it comes to putting on a seatbelt in a limo, something that is a must, even if not required by law, more than 10,000 people die in the U.S. each year that are unbuckled, not wearing seatbelts. So there are certain measures that can be taken to promote safety. One of them is, of course, if you're going to be partying and using alcohol, a limo is on average and statistically a far safer option despite this horrible crash.
Right.
Do your research, pick the best company you can, but a professional driver is still a better bet than getting behind the wheel after attending an alcohol consuming.
I'm glad you came back to that point on relative risk because I think one of the reasons that there are so many not only drunk driving accidents in general in this country, is that people have an inflated sense of the safety of being in a vehicle on the road. You know, we fear flying in an airplane, but statistically, there's almost nobody who ever dies in an airplane crash, and particularly in this country, not a commercial airline crash. There are so many people who die in their own cars within a few miles of their own homes. And yet the psychology of risk perception leads us to feel that certain things that are more risky are more safe and certain things that are more safe are more risky. So we don't want people, and I know this is the point you're making, as a result of this horrific accident being in the news in the way it is, to think, oh, I'm going to avoid the limo, I'm just going to drive.
Absolutely.
Point, and good point on which to leave it. So from Sam Schwartz Transportation Consultants, Richard Redding, Director of Safety and Research, thank you so much.
Thank you.